Chapter 9. The History of Witchcraft in Africa. For our recap, to remember the information better, we're already seen the definition of Wicca as witchcraft. There are all kinds of witches all over the world, and only Christians can be protected from witchcraft and other evil by calling on our authority through Jesus Christ. The last six chapters have been the history of witchcraft around the world, and it has shown that the so-called modern movement called Wicca is nothing but old-fashioned witchcraft, which has been around since the Tower of Babel incident in Babylon. From there, witchcraft and all sorts of other occult behavior spread across the planet. After Babylon, witchcraft went from Egypt to Greece, followed by Rome and Asia. Then in the last chapter we talked about India and the islands of that region. What we found was that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom had a great researcher digging into the history of the Thuggies and their worship of the Hindu god, demon, Kali. As the movie portrayed correctly for that Hindu and Muslim part of our world, in the 1800s the Thugs were some of those who practiced human sacrifice to appease Kali. And this practice actually continues in India to this day with witches murdering people in demonic rituals. We looked at some of the tragic stories of children, still brutally dying today, at the hands of occult witches. That gave us a good idea of why God tells us not mess with the occult and its witchcraft practices. If those beliefs come to our country, God says we must get them out quick. From India we moved on to talk about the island countries in that region of the world that have their island witches, shaman, called Dukun. Those are their witch doctors in the lowlands and on the rivers, while the mountain version is called Pong. Even today, on those islands southeast of India, these guys are looked upon as the supposed healers who will get the demons out of the locals by using demons. I don't think so. Like so many other cultures, the island witches are involved in divination and work with charms as people pay them to put hexes and curses on others. Of course, some on those islands are into what they call black magic, which we know is the same as any other magic, whether white, green, purple, chartreuse, or any other color. It is all evil, but some that they characterize as black magic does get extremely creepy. We also saw that those island people are getting sick and tired of witches murdering tens of thousands, so they are retaliating. That news doesn't get reported over here. Now, I'm not advocating or praising the hunting down and killing of witches. Anyone that murders must go through a court of law. But the authorities have put a muzzle, the threat of a 10-year prison sentence, on anyone who would want to accuse another of being a witch. Yet, this stuff is really going on, and we can see why it continues to spread. In this chapter we will head back west to where witchcraft emigrated to next, which was Africa. If you thought India was bad with their sick and murderous ritualistic witchcraft behavior, wait until you hear the massive scale of African witchcraft. But before we get into that, let's once again remind ourselves what God says our attitude should be about witchcraft and what He told us to do if these evil beliefs and practices come our country's way. Exodus 22:14-19 is another place God does not mince words about witchcraft. We can't say we don't know God's feelings on the occult and witchcraft because He straight up tells us in plain language that we must avoid this behavior, which often leads to murder. The passage in Exodus is about Jewish law for that time and what God says through it about how to deal with situations that will arise.
If a man borrows an animal from their neighbor and it is injured or dies while the owner is not present, they must make restitution.
Why is it important to make restitution? It is because we need to be responsible for our behavior, and restitution is right and proper response. Even growing up in a non-Christian family, that idea was something my parents instilled in us. Whenever we borrow something and it breaks, we must be the ones to pay for the fix or buy them a new one. And again, we were not even Christians, but it's just the responsible thing to do. Some in society today want to excuse something like that away by saying, "Hey, it's not my fault." God goes on in Exodus.
But if the owner is with the animal, the borrower will not have to pay. If the animal was hired, the money paid for the hire covers the loss. If a man seduces a virgin.
What are we taught by our society today about premarital fornication? Many ignore what goes on with our young men sleeping around. Some even give bad advice, saying they need not worry about the consequences, thereby creating a society full of single moms. They lead men to believe they don't need to be responsible for their behavior. Completely contrary to that disastrous message, what does God say? Here God tells us we must take responsibility for our behavior in a society.
If a man seduces a virgin, who is not pledged to be married and sleeps with her, he must pay the bride price, and she shall be his wife.
That used to be our way in the old days. We had a term called shotgun wedding. Dad would confront the young man with something like, "You did what with my daughter?" Then if the man slept with his daughter, the shotgun would come out, followed by the preacher showing up to marry the two young people. Do you remember those days? That is not what we have now. Today, society thinks no one but the government, all of us taxpayers, is responsible for bringing that child into the world. And you wonder why our society is falling apart. God continues.
If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he must still pay the bride price for virgins.
So, one way or another, the man still has to be responsible. Then, out the blue, God says this.
Do not allow a sorceress to live.
Whoa. Once again, for our communities, we see God's original death penalty given to those involved with witchcraft. And I find it very interesting that God follows that up with this.
Anyone who has sexual relations with an animal is to be put to death.
Think about how twisted our own society has gotten today. Witches and other occultists should be glad we are no longer under that Old Testament covenant. And I'm not advocating the execution of people, including any involved with bestiality, but notice that and witchcraft were right next to each other. Our society says someone practicing bestiality should go to jail because that is intolerable. But those practicing witchcraft have just chosen a different path, so we need to let them be. What? No. Again, in this chapter we're going to see how those societies that let this stuff flourish in their borders, pay a heavy price when the witches start coming after the citizens for body parts to add to their evil spells and potion. The whole thing is disgusting revelations about what goes on, but I'm not making it up and the practices continue to this day. We are going to see more of why God tells us not mess with this stuff. He has zero tolerance for witchcraft, sorcery, and the rest of the occult because those beliefs and practices not only leads people astray, they deliver people straight into hell, because it keeps them away from Jesus Christ, who is the only way to escape hell. Lives are on the line and cultures that let this permeate their society are going to be letting it ruin their country. Now, let's take a look at our next area where witchcraft practice is widespread. Africa is the second largest and most populous continent after Asia. As of 2018, Africa has 1.3 billion people, which is 16% of the world's population. And as big as that huge portion of our world is, the continent is massively flooded with witchcraft. Africa has a large diversity of ethnicities, cultures, languages, and religious beliefs. On our planet today, according to the Secular World Book Encyclopedia, Islam and Christianity are the two biggest faiths, with Christianity supposedly being number one. But as we've seen with the statistical research presented in some of our other studies, when secularists say Christianity is the biggest religion on the planet, they are wrong because they make the mistake of lumping religions like Catholicism into the Christian faith. Roman Catholicism is not biblical Christianity. So, that brings the number of Christians down significantly, especially in Africa where there are still a lot of Catholics. Other false faith secularists add into the numbers are Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Seventh-day Adventists. Another prominent religious group in Africa is the Charismatics, including some of the most extreme that are works-based and focused on speaking in tongues. But those works-based requirements are from man and certainly not God's gospel. So, people can say they are Christian all they want, and others can point them out as such, but that does not mean it's true. Rephrasing World Book, we should say Islam, Catholicism, and pseudo-Christian groups make up the biggest portion of the African population, and they also have Hindus, Buddhists, followers of Confucius, Baha'i, Judaism, and a ton of witchcraft. I'm telling you, in doing the research, the amount of occult practices in Africa blew me away. In fact, here is what the extent of it is from a secular document.
Witchcraft is a prevalent belief and practice on the African continent. It permeates and controls the thinking, perception, and lives of nearly all Africans, both educated and non-educated. It is an integral part of Africa's traditional religious heritage.
Belief in the destructive power of witches and sorcerers is rampant throughout Africa. It's woven into societies that believe they get possessed by familiars, demon spirits, which can also inhabit animals. And these familiars are supposedly how African witches get their powers to do their dirty deeds. People in Africa live in constant fear of messing with witches and spirit entities, demons. So, as you will see in this chapter, they actually seek the help of those witches and their demons to perform certain spells and other practices like Mudi, which is witchcraft medicine. And to practice Mudi, African witch doctors not only need plants, they also have the disgusting practice of adding human body parts. As you read this, people parts are a big business in Africa, which is why Africans are afraid of the witch doctors. The people believe the witches cause everyday issues like illness, accidents, epileptic fits, infertility, miscarriage, death, and almost anything else you can name. With that said, as much as Africans are afraid of the witch doctors, they also rely on them because witchcraft is woven into African societies. That same secular document also explains how, in some parts of Africa, witchcraft is a prerequisite for traditional, political, office holders. In many communities, the people actually elect a local witch because some Africans believe witchcraft gives their rulers mystical powers, deeper insights, and extraordinary wisdom. As Christians, you and I would advocate electing Christians who follow God's teachings. Likewise, people in Africa feel they need supposedly powerful witches. It is absolutely crazy. One guy living in Africa says this.
In my own country, in Africa, the belief in witchcraft is common among people of all ethnic and religious backgrounds. Witches possess magical powers that they acquire through rituals and human sacrifice.
Now, as far as human sacrifice in Africa, we have to deal with it. I could spend this entire chapter and even the rest of this book on articles like this one, but it is so disgusting that I really want to limit it to what we need to know to get an idea of what goes on there. Right now, today, human sacrifice is happening on a massive scale in our world, and it's not just what we saw from India. Frankly, Africa has made it into an extensive business. In Africa, they call it ritual killings, and you can do research yourself just by quickly searching online for current articles on the subject. You will see that the occult practice of human sacrifice is happening every day of the week in Africa, where they are murdering men, women, and especially children. In a little bit, I'll explain why they focus on children. As we look at the descriptions of what goes on in African witchcraft, tell me much of it is not also already happening in our country too. In fact, a powerful promoter here has been our media, purposely popularizing witchcraft. If the Lord should tarry long enough, as our nation's acceptance of witchcraft and occult practices continues to grow and permeate our land, we too will surely reach the level of human sacrifices. And actually, dare I say, that kind of thing already goes on in the United States with Americans involved in witchcraft. It's something we don't want to deal with, but we'll probably have to at some point. Here at Get a Life Media and Sunrise Bible Church, we will look into it even more extensively in our future study of Satanism, as well as a bit more in this book as we get to modern American witchcraft. But I'm convinced this horrible murder does happen today here in the United States of America, while our media also contributes by refusing to report on it. At least in Africa, they are talking about it because today they have been made to deal with it on a massive scale. Here is some on that.
Ritual killing and the sacrifice of humans is still practiced in Africa. Witchcraft features prominently in some of the African countries' media and film industry, even in children's classroom textbooks. Popular home videos are all permeated by fetish thinking, sorcery, magic, and occultism. The belief in witchcraft exists with equal force and ferocity. Even science in Africa is infused with witchcraft and sorcery, making much of it a unique form of African pseudoscience. Africans make a distinction between negative and positive magic.
There is that same lie again. Many of those who want to practice witchcraft will claim they only perform white magic, which is perfectly fine because it is only used to help and heal others, while they say it's only terrible black magic that is creepy. But that is not true. It's all bad. So, there is that lie repeated again. Now, I want to give you testimony in a video transcript that is exactly like the first-hand account my seminary professor gave. Dr. Couch from Tyndale Theological Seminary in Texas has been on mission trips around the world and saw for himself how Catholicism didn't care if Catholics were involved with the occult, as long as they continued to attend Mass. He'd seen Catholics attend Mass and then go right next door to ritually sacrifice a chicken in the practice of African witchcraft. Still, this transcript blew me away when I saw that it exposed the exact same issue.
African News Anchor. Now, this week we'd like to pay attention to our African roots in a sense that we all have either heard about, have practiced, or in one way or another have read about or even done stories about. And this is about black magic in Africa. This has been, you know, asked over and over again, is it a myth or is it a reality? And so, we are asking ourselves as Africans, how destructive has this been? And on the platform today, it's going to be all about black magic. Voodoo witch doctor chants while pouring something on what looks like human skeletons. Reporter. This is a voodoo ceremony. In West Africa, this religion is observed by millions. And for them, Voodoo is a path to lifelong balance, health, and prosperity. For those who practice, one of the best ways to achieve this is by working with a local healer known as Afat Ashura here at the Marché des Féticheurs, West Africa's largest voodoo market. This is where you get duck heads. This is where you get dried birds and snakes. You get all of this here. It's like a supermarket for voodoo. Personally, I was looking for something to protect me while I was on my travels. A voodoo witch doctor explains how the reporter can voodoo charge an amulet carry with him in his pocket. Reporter to witch doctor. I want to go and see Ashura, so we can have a ceremony to see what it is like. Okay? News anchor. Some Africans have sacrificed the souls of their wives, children, siblings, friends, and in some instances, parents, just to make money. News anchor standing in front of a Catholic basilica across the square from a voodoo temple. You can openly be at Catholic Mass in the morning and do voodoo rites in the afternoon without being bothered. It's actually very easy to do so, as the basilica was built by Catholic missionaries opposite the voodoo temple of Pythons. Voodoo witch doctors are shown performing a ritual where it appears that a man is voluntarily sitting while reciting after a witch, as the witch puts ceremonial concoctions on the man's bald head and repeatedly slaps the man hard on the top of his head.
If you see the video, like me, you'll want to get that guy a football helmet. The witchcraft he's paying for even looks dangerous, though it could be a head-slapping good time. The Three Stooges have nothing on that witch doctor. I half expected the witch to start poking the man's eyes. But the video shows that news anchor is standing in front of a Catholic basilica for Catholic missionaries, even though the original report wrongly calls them Christian. If we went further with that video transcript, you would see the locals claim Catholic Mass combined with Python voodoo produces the best results. Think about that. Their practice does not show a negative issue with Christianity because Catholicism is certainly not Christianity. Instead, what it does show is the bankrupt belief system of Catholicism because it is not real Christianity. If these people are looking for the power of God, of course, they will not get it that way. But their religious leaders pressure them to attend Catholic Mass to supposedly get to heaven and then use voodoo for issues in their daily lives. That's how sad the whole picture is. What those people need are real born-again Christians coming there with an actual Christian church that can lead them out all those tragic beliefs. Only through Jesus Christ will they see lasting results. African belief in witchcraft is widespread, even though those who believe in witchcraft rated their lives significantly less satisfying than those who did not. Of course, that is no surprise, and it's similar to what we've learned with some of our studies on secular psychology, where a lot of psychologists follow the teachings of men like Carl Rogers, Sigmund Freud, and Carl Jung. Both Freud and Jung were involved with the occult, especially Jung, who even admitted to getting much of his inspiration from demons that spoke to him. And if you statistically look at the lives of many secular psychologists, you will not only find theirs are just as messed up, and often worse, than their patients' lives. Yet, people go to them for advice. Here is more on witchcraft being practiced at all levels of society in Africa.
Belief in witchcraft is widespread in Africa. A cultural belief in witchcraft has wider implications for Africans as well, from law enforcement to aid donations to public health. In Africa, witch doctors are consulted not only for healing diseases, but also for placing curses on rivals. Magic, or at least the belief in magic, is commonly used for personal, political, and financial gain. African belief in witchcraft has also led to horrific murders and mutilations in recent years.
I just want to show you one more article about human sacrifice. Again, unfortunately, I could take the rest of this book showing reports about how witches in Africa today are murdering people left and right just for body parts.
Arms, fingers, genitals, ears, and blood are highly prized on the black market, believed to contain magical powers and are used in witchcraft. The practice of using body parts for magical ritual or benefit is called muti. Such attacks are particularly brutal, with knives and machetes used to cut and hack off limbs, breasts and other body parts from their screaming victims, including children.
These people practicing African witchcraft are sick. Again, we wonder why God says not to allow these beliefs to enter into, let alone permeate, our country. As I also said before, I'm not advocating we have a witch hunt to round these people up and take an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, or kill them. But at least we as a country need to deal with our people who practice this stuff by taking them to court, and then hopefully justice will prevail. This is crazy stuff. Here is more from a pastor in Africa.
One pastor says, child sacrifice is real, it's not a myth. It is a reality and it's happening on a huge scale in Africa. I saw, with my own eyes, three children who had been sacrificed from the same family. It broke my heart. I saw the pain of the mother who lost three children. It was real and right in front of me. Witchcraft has long been practiced throughout Africa and traditionally involves the sacrificing of animals like goats or chickens. But witch doctors, he says, now claim their work is more powerful when you sacrifice the blood of a child. The witch doctors believe that when you sacrifice a child, you get wealth, you get protection, you get some sort of blessing, he says.
Who do you suppose came up with that lie? Just as the Bible's John 8 tells us, from the beginning Satan has been a liar and the father of all lies, as well as a murderer. So, it's Lucifer that is filling his evil followers' minds with this garbage. Now, let's take a deeper look at this African witchcraft idea of Muti, which is big business there. Here is someone selling Muti on the streets. The guy is a vendor of items needed to perform witchcraft for supposed protection, healing, targeting of adversaries, and other occult practices. Here on the streets of Las Vegas, we can buy knick-knack paddywhax, or some guy that looks like Elvis will sell us the opportunity to have our picture taken with him. But there in Africa, salespeople on their streets push witchcraft tools. And as we saw in the video, Africans do not sell fleas like we Americans do in our weekend flea markets. Instead, it is witchcraft paraphernalia, herbs, potions, bones, dead animals, and other things needed to practice witchcraft. While those visiting us here in Las Vegas will go away with a cup or t-shirt that says, I love Vegas, people there pick up witchcraft tools. It's all over the place in African communities, and the whole thing is crazy. Muti means tree and it is witchcraft potions derived from plants or trees that witches put together in the rituals. But again, they also include body parts, which helps make it a big business over there. In fact, the terms associated with Muti are Muti killings, or medicine murders.
Muti killings involve the murder of someone in order to excise body parts for incorporation into medicine used in witchcraft. The deputy provincial commissioner said that Muti murders, particularly those involving young children, seem to be on the rise. The government convened to root out the evil practice of mutilating human bodies for purposes of Muti making.
But the problem with calling out witchcraft in Africa is similar to what we saw in India, where they passed a law that said anyone accusing another of witchcraft gets up to 10 years in prison. Again, I'm not saying these witches should be hunted down and killed. We do not want to do an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. That would be wrong. But India has tens of thousands of people, including children, being murdered by witches. That has to be talked about. But with the laws that muzzle witnesses, even when a witch kills a family member, if anyone in the family speaks up, he or she risks jail or prison. Africa's policies are similar. And believe it or not, that started through the British, who controlled Africa for a long time. The English passed a law there called the Witchcraft Act of 1735.
The Witchcraft Act was a law passed by the Parliament of the Kingdom of Great Britain in 1735, which made it a crime for a person to claim that any human being had magical powers or was guilty of practicing witchcraft.
Gee, I wonder why witchcraft is also rampant in Europe today. Another law was passed by the Parliament of South Africa in 1957. It was called the Witchcraft Suppression Act and was based on the earlier 1735 Witchcraft Act. This one was very similar to India's law, in that it also carried a sentence of up to 10 years in prison for
imputing to any other person the causing, by supernatural means, of any disease in or injury or damage to any person or thing or naming or indicating any other person as a wizard.
No wonder the pervasive evils of witchcraft in those societies will not go away. One attempt to deal with the massive problem of witchcraft came in 2007 with the Witchcraft Suppression Bill. It would have explicitly acknowledged the existence of witchcraft and began to criminalize it. But, as this article explains, the witch organizations complained, so the bill has been held up for review ever since.
The pagans who self-identify as witches objected to the unconstitutional suppression of their religious beliefs and practices and negative stereotypes in this particular bill.
Well, then stop killing people. Can we at least start there? And again, believe or not, the witches won for now because passage of the bill has been suspended until further notice. So, the evil continues to this day because the witches get protected. God has strong words about this stuff, but, again, I'm not saying we should carry out Old Testament justice with the death penalty for practicing witchcraft. That said, we do have to deal with it somehow. And the obvious lesson for today's New Covenant Christians is that we should not let this evil flourish in our own societies, certainly don't roll over to act as if it's not happening and obviously never get involved with ourselves. As you will see later in this chapter, we also need to take seriously the fact that witchcraft is being popularized in our own culture today, including the promotion of witchcraft to our kids, even in the church. African witch doctors are at all levels of African society, with the people looking to them for help with most day-to-day medical issues. That picture is one of their medicine men they call Sangomas. Here is the video transcript of a Sangoma in action.
Narrator: Johannesburg is the biggest and most modern city in Africa. But as the continent charges towards the 21st century, there are still mysterious and ancient forces at work here. Meet Seth Sorka, a third-generation traditional healer, or Sangoma. Seth has turned African medicine into a lucrative money-maker from the white community. It's all about protection, and this is his arsenal of secret weapons to keep the thieves at bay. Many sizes of bottles and jars are shown with liquids and powders in them. Narrator: Secretions from the lungs of a lion and hyena fat, just to name a few. Seth mixes his brews for more than 40 white clients, who call on his traditional medicines to allay their greatest fear, the fear of crime. It's a booming market with no shortage of potential customers. Seth: Maybe they need to come to us healers and say, let's sit down and talk about this thing. And then we give them the guarantee. We sign a contract. Then we start to give them the protection. Narrator: Seth's work is a curious mix of centuries-old traditions and the ills of a modern society. Today's protection job is a nursery on the outskirts of Johannesburg. Caucasian nursery owner, Linda: How are you? Seth: Yes, Linda. I'm fine, and how are you? Linda: Fine, thanks. Narrator: Seth first met Linda DeLuca 12 months ago when he was called in to protect her fleet of utes, utility vehicles. A disgruntled former employee was threatening to steal them and kill the drivers. So, Seth was on the job. But when the contract ran out, disaster struck. Linda says she didn't get around to renewing the witch doctor contract and ended up with criminals in her nursery. From that, she thinks the mutti apparently wore off. Linda: Seth told me it needs to be renewed, and we didn't get around to it, so we learned the hard way. Narrator: So, Seth, the Sangoma, is back at Linda's nursery. The first job is to stop the criminals from coming into the nursery. Seth and a helper are shown digging small holes and putting some of his concoctions in them. Seth: What I'm doing here is to protect this nursery for Linda, so that when the criminal comes in, he will feel inside his body that, no, this nursery is no good. It's dangerous. Seth is shown splashing liquid around the property from a bucket. Narrator: Now, this isn't just any old bucket of water at about $100 a splash. This sort of traditional protection certainly doesn't come cheap, particularly if you're white. But does Linda believe this is actually going to work? Linda to the reporter: There is a feeling that the Sangoma can help them to sort their problems out.
Isn't this stuff crazy? And when the witch doctor dug a hole to put his potions in, it reminded me of the Catholic practice where followers are taught to dig a hole near their house and throw a certain Catholic figurine in, for sale from Catholic leadership, to supposedly help them sell their homes. Hey, I wonder why there is so much similarity between some of this African witchcraft and teachings from Catholicism. But notice how nuts that African practice is. When you or I have something going wrong at our home, we will call the appropriate electrician, plumber, or roofer. And for criminal behavior in our area, we call the police. But who are the people in that transcript relying on? As you read this, Africans are employing witches on a massive scale. It is a very lucrative business. And notice it was not a practice only utilized by native Africans. The Caucasian community also relies on witches. In fact, the business is in a big enough uptrend that white Sangomas, witch doctors, have been popping onto the scene. And while this goes on, where are the churches? They need some good, godly churches down there to counteract all that baloney.
An increasing number of white people have openly trained as Sangomas. Sangomas fulfill different social and political roles in the community, including divination, healing, physical, emotional, and spiritual illnesses, directing birth or death rituals, finding lost cattle, protecting warriors, counteracting witchcraft.
Again, that last one is attempting to fight demons with demons, which won't work. And notice how that witch doctor said he has the customers sign a contract. Then what happened? Linda let the contract lapse, after which the bad behavior came back. Isn't that convenient? If I were a demon seducing people away from Jesus and towards witchcraft, what might be a good tactic? Would it be to help give people the perception that the witch doctor's protection works? As the contracts run out, I would send more demons to inspire people to do demonic things so the ex-client will want the witch doctor back. After signing a new contract, the witch doctor could just pull the demons back again, so it looks like his practices have worked some more. Can you see the deception? It is all a bunch of baloney, but people are getting sucked into it. In fact, listen to this from the country of South Africa alone.
It is estimated that there are as many as 200,000 indigenous Sangomas, or witch doctors, in South Africa compared to 25,000 Western trained doctors. Traditional healers are consulted by approximately 60% of the South African population.
Now, you can see what I mean by it being a huge business. Witch doctors are also sought out for things like divination. The witches believe they get advice and guidance from their ancestors through being possessed by spirits. But that's just full-blown demonic possession. They also practice mediumship, bone throwing, and dream interpretation. Of those four witchcraft practices, the one popularized today on America television is the supposed ancestor advice, a familiar spirit, or demon, from beyond the grave. But how is it that witch doctors get themselves possessed by a spirit, demon? Here is their technique.
In possession states, the Sangoma works themselves into a trance through drumming, dancing, and chanting.
So, they apparently use repetitive movement, music, and chanting. That's how they purposely get into an altered state of consciousness. Of course, that's another reminder of our huge charismatic chaos study, because charismatics teach the same with their own techniques involving repetitive chanting, movement, and music. African witch doctors like the altered state, because it allows them to more easily communicate with demons. That is all very interesting. And this secular article gives us another interesting connection between the Sangomas and charismatics.
The Sangoma will provide specific information about the problems of the patient. Some Sangomas speak to their patients through normal conversation, whilst others speak in tongues.
Hey, it's like there's also a co-inky-dink coincidence with that major mutual practice. Now, if the witch doctor does not want to go through the whole process of getting possessed by reaching an altered state, because it can take a while, a simpler technique they use is called throwing the bones. Possession by an ancestor spirit, demon, can be an exhausting ritual, so witch doctors often use those other techniques instead. Here again is Seth, the Sangoma, and more of the video transcript where he is performing divination by the throwing the bones.
Reporter. Back at the office, there's a burning question of a rather more personal nature. Ifrahim Klamini has, well, a rather nasty dose of the clap. With a throw of the bones, Seth sees all. Seth. If you have intercourse with your wife, it's very weak and a woman needs a strong man. So, if you're weak, obviously you can't perform or whatever. Reporter. Now, call me a skeptic, but in the pursuit of journalistic truth, how could I possibly avoid throwing the bones? Reporter asks the bones before tossing them on a mat. What's my future? Reporter to Seth. So, what have we got? Seth. You need to go back to your ancestors, especially your grandmother, because she is crying. She saw you do a lot of jobs, but you didn't report anything to her. So, she's crying. These four basic bones mean that you don't communicate with her, so she's crying. Reporter. I guess I'll just have to take it on faith that it was all in the bones.
No, you should listen to God, who tells us to stay away from that stuff. You're being led astray by a bunch of baloney. But again, for those who consult witches, demons can help facilitate desired results that will deceive people, so they get sucked into witchcraft and other occult practices. And I don't know about you, but if I threw a bunch of junk across my living room floor like that guy, tossing bone fragments, my wife would accurately prophesy how this goober is shortly going to get out the broom and dustpan. I don't need a sorcerer to figure that one out. Just like the American Indian shamans, witch doctors, African witches are also expected help with the weather. Again, as the Bible tells us, this is nothing new. Africans believe the witch doctors are possessed by the sky god, or great spirit, to be able to manipulate the weather. They're also considered priest magicians. Under possession by a spirit, or so-called deity, priest magicians are supposedly able to control human consciences, people's minds. They believe they are servants to the spirit entities, while in reality they are in total demonic bondage and being used by evil. And speaking of possession, African witches are possessed by a range of different familiars, which is something we also saw with Asian witchcraft. In Asia, it was animals getting possessed by demon familiars so the animals can supposedly train and protect their companion witches. By now, with all this history of witchcraft from around the world, you can probably see how all these occult and witchcraft practices have the same root in Babylon, while, at the same time, each country has their twist on the practices like different favorite animals to depict as familiars. You will remember that Asia was normally a fox or snake witch but sometimes used the cat, as well. Later, you see that European familiar spirits are cats, dogs, and weasels. In Africa they are hyenas, owls, and baboons. And here is an added interesting aspect, the African witches also believe they can have a familiar of human origin that will supposedly appear as a zombie. Lord willing, in this multi-year study, world religions, cults, and the occult, we will get to Satanism after witchcraft and then deal with a hodgepodge of vampires, voodoo, shamanism, animism, ancestor worship, and other evils. And with a look at voodoo, one of their prominent practices is believing voodoo witch doctors can possess people to the point of taking charge of them. One of their versions of familiars is a person becoming possessed and thereby acting as a familiar to give their companion personal guidance and power. African witches also claim to perform sorcery. For a price, sorcerers will supposedly do bad things to other people on your behalf, like striking them with illnesses or misfortune. Another role for these witches is necromancy, which I'm not going to go into because it's just too sickening. Here are other African witch practices.
Witches are typically seen as particularly active after dusk, when law-abiding mortals are asleep. In some African culture, witches are believed to assemble in cannibal covens, often at graveyards or around a fire, to feast on the blood that they, like vampires, extract from their victims.
As deplorable as all that is, listen to this.
There is thus no inconsistency in the minds of the sick African who consults both a medical doctor and a witch doctor. The first treats the external symptoms, while the second uncovers the hidden causes. Just as the sick African takes preventative measures prescribed by the medical doctor, he or she might also take steps against the supernatural.
Like Americans who see a medical doctor first and then following that up with physical therapy, after Africans see their medical doctor, for the full meal deal they follow it up with a witch doctor.
To protect against witchcraft, for instance, the patient might wear amulets, take medicine or bathe in it or practice divination. There is a narrow, ambiguous line between good and evil here. Among some African people, witchcraft is intrinsically neither morally good nor bad. Traditional and modern African leaders sometimes surround themselves with protective witch doctors.
Africans look at a witch as their supernatural bodyguard. So, because witchcraft ingrained throughout the history of all these countries and continents around the world, often the rulers are either witches themselves or rely on witchcraft and other occult practices to supposedly give the ruler wisdom and protection. And, unfortunately, it is still going on all over the world today.
Like those in Western society suspected of child abuse and Satanism, African witches are believed to practice incest and other perversions.
In Africa, that kind of debauchery includes the muti killings, medicine murders, for obtaining human body parts. And when possible, they specifically target children for that mutilation and murder. If all that is not bad enough, there is another disgusting practice of the evil depraved African witches. They believe a super-duper powerful potion is one that includes the body parts of a murdered child or adult that has albino skin coloring, pink eyes, and lack of pigment in the skin so it's white. And this hunting of albinos by African witch doctors is another of their practices that is happening on a massive scale. As we sit in comfort today, unfortunately, people with the wrong skin pigment are literally running for their lives from witches that are trying to kill them, as this video transcript exposes.
News report. A man being hunted, living in fear of being killed for what he is. Jeremiah Ndeyarajiye is on the run of gangs involved in the most gruesome trade now spreading across East Africa, the trade of the human body parts of albinos. Reporter. Some African witch doctors are using them to concoct so-called good luck potions, they claim the body parts, skin, golden hair, and even the genitals of albinos will bring good luck in love, life, and business. Al Jazeera brought you the story of this horrible trade last year from Tanzania, where more than 40 albinos have been slaughtered in the last 2 years and it is now spread across the border to Burundi. So far, 11 albinos have been murdered and mutilated here. Jeremiah showed me his squalid and dilapidated hideout. He is not alone. Cyprian abandoned his family to take refuge here.
Cyprian. We are here because they're hunting us. They want to kill us because of the color of our skin.
Reporter. Emmeline and her brother, Bertrand, fled after a suspicious visitor came to their house.
Emmeline. A man came to our house saying he was looking for merchandise. It scared us so we left.
Reporter. But it's Jeremiah's story that is the most harrowing. His brother, Daniel, was allegedly murdered by the eldest brother in the family, who then sold off the body parts for $240. Jeremiah.
I saw my brother's dead body. All his limbs, arms and legs, were chopped off and gone.
Afterwards, my brother and sister-in-law were overheard fighting over money they had got from selling his body parts. Furthermore, we have evidence that the murderers came through to my older brother's compound and spent some time in his house discussing how they were going to kill him.
I was lucky not to be at home at that time.
Reporter.
They believe that what is happening amounts to genocide.
Jeremiah.
I cannot take the risk of going back home. I will not leave this place. I'd much rather starve and die here than be hacked to death.
And in our society, we whine about cold French fries. Right now, people like Jeremiah, Cyprian, as well as Emmeline and her little brother, are running for their lives from witchcraft. And you are kidding yourself if you do not think that sort of thing also goes on here in America. It just does not get reported. But the more it spreads, because witchcraft is being popularized in the US, the more these sorts of heinous murders will also increase here. It is no wonder God tells us to keep any sign of witchcraft and other occult practices far away from us and our society. And again, because I don't want people to take what I say out of context to make it sound like something I did not call for or promote, I have to say this every time I mention that we need to stop these practices. I am not saying we should have a witch hunt and kill them. I am not saying that or suggesting it. But we all need to own up to and deal with what is happening to these poor people being killed by witches, just as we would with anyone who murders others and is even guilty of genocide. Acting like it isn't happening or enacting laws that prevent good people from even getting to first base on dealing with the issue, is helping no one and actually getting many more people killed. Now, here's a British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, report and remember that the dollar amount they mention goes a lot farther to support the average African's lifestyle than it would in America where incomes are much higher.
More than 200 witch doctors and traditional healers have been arrested in Tanzania in a crackdown on the murder of albino people. The killings have been driven by the belief, advanced by some witch doctors, that the body parts have properties that confer wealth and good luck. According to the Red Cross, witch doctors are prepared to pay $75,000 for a complete set of albino body parts.
How life-changing is that kind of money to an African living out in the middle of nowhere? And we saw how one older brother allowed his own albino family member to be hacked up and murdered for only $240. This is what witchcraft produces. It's not a game. The BBC also said this.
The latest victims include a one-year-old albino boy.
Wow. And as sick as that is, the despicable practice is spreading as it gets more accepted amidst all this other murderous witchcraft behavior. Why? Here's another part of the article.
This African country may soon legalize witchcraft to ease the burden on state hospitals. Witchcraft may soon be legalized as traditional medicine, a move that is expected to ease the burden on already overcrowded hospitals, news site Al Jazeera reports. Hospitals are also getting overburdened due to lack of staff, so the government is considering giving legal backing to the operations of traditional healers.
I guess they feel that changing the name from witch doctor to traditional healer somehow makes it better. But it does not. Whichever name they want to use, it is just the same old-fashioned witchcraft where occult witch doctors perform horrible acts against the community, including murder. And shockingly, African societies want to legalize witchcraft as a way to offset medical needs. One witch named Cass is suggesting just that to the people in his area.
Kasthad that he could establish a hospital and treat all people suffering in the country if the government will consider the services he is offering to his community legitimate.
And here is the video transcript of a news report featuring Kas.
Kas. If only the government recognized my work and the service I give to the community, I could open a hospital and treat all people suffering in my country. Reporter. The witchcraft wouldn't allow us to film inside the waiting room where there are about 80 people inside a small room, police officers in uniform, men in suits, women holding their babies, all believing that the witchcraft can do more to treat them than a medical doctor. With one medical doctor for 15,000 people, hospitals are overwhelmed with patients. There are not enough medical staff. So, the government wants to legalize witchcraft as traditional medicine.
But, hey, it is probably not real witchcraft. I'm sure it's like modern Wicca that is all about love of nature, animals and peace for all. Right? No. Whether they want to call it Wicca, traditional healing medicine, or fluffy bunny friendship practices, it is all witchcraft and what goes on with it is absolutely crazy, just as the Bible warned us over and over. But, hey, it's a good thing, we Americans don't have to deal with African witchcraft here, right? Well, thanks once again to our media, including Disney, here is some African witchcraft being promoted to people all over the world, including here in the United States, where it's being made. I had to take a screenshot of this article because people think I'm some wacko making an unfair charge that Disney's, The Lion King, is promoting African witchcraft to our children. That is actually from a witch website that I want to quote from because the witches love that movie, along with a lot of other Disney productions, because it all helps witches promote their craft. Here is what the witches on that website say.
Disney classics are no strangers to us. Throughout each Disney film, magic has a tendency to play a prominent role in some way, including The Lion King, where we need look no further than the opening scene to see that the film is laden with magic and pagan symbolism. This opening scene, backed by a version of Elton John's Circle of Life, shows the animals of Africa gathering to see their newborn prince, a young lion cub named Simba, for the first time. When they have gathered, Rafiki, a baboon, arrives and presents Simba to the kingdom in a ritual blessing. I mentioned earlier that Rafiki was a shaman. When the animals are gathered, we see Rafiki walking among the crowd toward Pride Rock, and this is a key moment to consider. As he passes, the crowd parts to let him through and bows as he walks by. Shamans in shamanic practice are treated with great respect, often honored and followed more closely than a chief or king. This is because the shaman is the mouthpiece of spirituality. After seeing baby Simba, he smiles and shakes a rattle of gourds over the cub. Like bells in modern witchcraft, rattles are instruments used for more than just music. Percussion instruments are used for anything ranging from communication, both between living parties and the spirit world, to cleansing, to even summoning, or invoking a spell. Rafiki shaking his rattle over Simba was not simply an act of affection. It was the start of the ritual, a cleansing act before the blessing. Ancestor worship is part and parcel to many shamanic and pagan paths, and honoring one's ancestors is a theme found in nearly every culture in some form or another. In shamanism, the shaman is sometimes seen as the mouthpiece of the ancestors, communicating their wisdom with the living. This very same aspect of ancestor worship is brought up again midway through the film, during a moment of stargazing between Simba, Timon, and Pumbaa, and then closer to the climax when Rafiki reminds Simba that Mufasa, his father, lives on through Simba's legacy.
That description is straight from the witches, and it is called ancestor worship. Disney is a consistent example of witchcraft promotion, and I do not have time to get into all the rest of it that goes on in our media and modern movies. However, I will touch on one other huge industry in our society that not only promotes witchcraft, but specifically pushes African witchcraft. Have you guessed it? I'm talking about our music industry. And the heavy promotion has been successful. In fact, it's gotten to the point where young black women in the United States of America are leaving Christianity and joining together to form covens of African American witches.
A woman was dressed entirely in white as she addressed a large audience of African American women. Standing behind a lectern, speaking in the cadences of a preacher, she added, "I understand God more now, doing what I'm doing than I ever did in the church. She was giving the keynote address last month at the 3rd Annual Black Witch Convention in Baltimore. Hundreds of young Black women are leaving Christianity in favor of their ancestors' African spiritual traditions, and finding a sense of power in the process.
They are turning to African witchcraft in droves and notice that it is power they're looking for. And something similar goes on here in the U.S. with the church's charismatic community. We biblical Christians desire more conformity to Christ as we disciple under the teachings of Jesus. One main tenet of Christian discipleship that life is not to be about self. In fact, we are to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. It is about sharing the gospel of Christ and getting equipped to give a defense for the faith that lies within us. It is not about us. It is about Jesus and us being his mouthpiece. But just like those witches in America are seeking power, likewise, the charismatic community makes faith all about attaining power for ourselves. And these ladies forming covens of witches are turning to witchcraft for power because the churches they were involved in did not give it to him. Listen to this craziness from a video transcript about American women practicing African witchcraft.
Reporter. Growing numbers of African American women in Maryland, and across the nation, are leaving traditional church worship. All of them are in search of something else, a spiritual belief that connects them to their ancestors and where they can feel more empowered to control their own well-being. They have found it in ancient forms of spiritual contact. Some call it witchcraft, a term they accept and embrace. A traditional U.S. church service is shown. Reporter. For most of us, this is how we worship, a tradition that predates us all. U.S. witches are shown at one of their homes as they perform their African witchcraft rituals. Reporter. This, too, is an ancient art of worshiping, not to God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but to spirits and deities that span the oceans and date back to pre-slavery days in Africa. Reporter interviewing 6 witches seated on living room couches. Are you, in fact, witches? High Priestess, Ianafa Oyedel Ogunzina. I'm whatever the situation calls for. So, if you come to me with pleasantries, you're being respectful, you'll get Glinda, the good witch of the suburbs. But if you come at me with negativity and meanness and disrespect, then you will get Evelyn, your worst nightmare. Ogunzina is shown performing African witchcraft rituals. Reporter. They have many names and titles and ranks within their belief system. They are college-educated, professional women who've chosen to believe that theirs is a truer example of worship that is inclusive of the genders. It connects them, they say, to their ancestors and fills a need not found in traditional worship, though most of them grew up in the church. Shango Yemi, realtor, witch. I was raised Christian with all Christians in my family. In fact, my grandfather was a preacher in the South. Third witch. I also grew up Christian. I grew up Anglican in the Episcopal Church. The older I got, the more disconnect I felt. Fourth witch. I was raised Baptist. My father is a deacon. My mother is a deaconess. I was in church all the time.
Yet, some wonder why Christians need to preach on something like witchcraft. Hey, this stuff influences our kids and it's pulling them right out of the church. Here's more information about this disturbing trend from the Secular article.
Over the past decade, white millennials have embraced witchcraft in droves. Now, a parallel phenomenon is emerging among Black millennials. While their exact numbers are difficult to gauge, it's clear that African American pop culture has started to reflect the trend. In the music industry alone, there's Beyoncé's allusion to an African goddess in Lemonade, and at the Grammys, Azealia Banks's declaration that she practices rujeria, a Spanish term for witchcraft, and Princess Nokia's hit Brujas, in which she tells white witches, "Everything you got from us." Modern Black witches are practicing witchcraft, with a few millennial touches. They build altars to ancestors, so they can seek their advice on everything from romance to professional advancement, cast spells using emoji to help banish depression, surround themselves with crystals in the hope that they will relieve stress, and burn sage to cleanse their apartments of negative energy. They're typically disillusioned with hierarchical institutions, the Catholic Church, for example.
Again, there's another secular article pointing specifically at Catholicism as the issue. And had you been able to see the actual video, you would notice their witchcraft rituals included candles and incense. You would notice how it all began with incense and candles. Well, guess what? Speaking of incense and candles, if you were raised the Catholic Church, you got the candles and incense, but weren't fed the biblical teachings of Jesus. And that is because Roman Catholicism is not biblical Christianity. If you doubt that, check out detailed study called Roman Catholicism and the Coming World Religion. You can even watch it online. Catholicism is a works-based salvation, even though the Bible tells us not to add any requirements to salvation besides the need to accept Christ's work on the cross as payment for our sins against God. Catholicism does not teach the biblical gospel of salvation as the way we get to heaven. And it is not biblical Christianity when any organization or individual, whether they say they are Christian or not, adds any requirement for salvation to the cross of Jesus Christ by claiming salvation requires something more than Jesus, like Jesus and Mary, or Jesus and the sacraments, or Jesus and speaking in tongues, or Jesus and baptism, or Jesus and whatever, or Jesus but whatever, or Jesus or whatever, or Jesus and don't drink Coke while you do your mandatory bike tour to recruit more followers to a man-made false religion. None of those are the gospel, because the true and only gospel is Jesus and Jesus alone. So, all these people and organizations out there, who claim to be Christian while adding requirements besides acceptance of Christ's work on the cross, are leading people to hell. And if the followers are not born again because they believe what those false faiths are selling as their way to gain salvation, they are not saved or indwelled with the Holy Spirit to guide them. So, it's no wonder those people don't feel a change in their lives and can't seem to get satisfied. They are just practicing a pseudo-Christian religion that is not Christianity. In fact, here is a familiar background on one of the witches in that secular article.
Monica Jeffries is a 28-year-old teacher who grew up in the Apostolic Church, but she broke ties with it 4 years ago.
She grew up in the Apostolic Church, which is another charismatic, works-based outlet and not the biblical gospel of Christ. Being in an organization that claims to be Christian, including Charismatic Christian, doesn't make someone a Christian. Whenever a person claims salvation is more than the cross of Christ, he or she is not saved. So, that woman was involved with a charismatic apostolic church that is involved with added requirements to the cross of Christ, which makes it understandable that she got turned off from her pseudo-Christian experience. So, she is just one more example of the pattern we see where people, who had not really been raised Christians, are still characterized as having left Christianity, and on it goes. Here's another disturbing trend that we'll cover more toward the end of this study, but I want to give you a little teaser. Not all these witches, who claim to have given up Christianity, have left their churches.
While some witches told me they were finished with Christianity, others said they still attend church.
So, that means some full-blown witches show up at church on a Sunday after practicing witchcraft all week. And I want to share a report about how witches easily infiltrate charismatic congregations. While everyone else is talking gibberish, which is not biblical speaking in tongues, that is always a known language, these witches actually mumble their incantations in their attempts to bring the churches down. This is actually happening in churches today. On top of that, American witches in the article claim this.
Christianity and African witchcraft are complementary, not mutually exclusive. As one of them put it, the Bible ain't nothing but a big old spell book.
That is blasphemy. Here is more on why these women are leaving their church background and going into occult practices.
The rise of Wicca and neo-paganism is due in part to increasing religious tolerance and syncretism, the attempts to bring all religions together, the retreat of Christianity, the popularity of fantasy and science fiction, the growth of feminism relativist theory, truth is relative to whatever each individual decides, and an increasing emphasis upon individuality and subjectivity.
Can I translate that for you? It has to do with why we at Sunrise Bible Church have spent the last 9 years doing Wednesday night studies that get us equipped to give a defense for the hope that is within us. We have been doing that because it's what the Bible tells us to do. We have to understand what's going on in our world and look at it from God's perspective so that we'll be equipped for the spiritual battlefield, not retreating but always advancing God's kingdom as we use our biblical understanding and our knowledge of what's happening in our world to share the truth with others. By and large, when was the last time you heard an American church preaching on the book of Revelation, sin, God's wrath, or even hell? How about a sermon on the occult, witchcraft practices, sorcery, or anything along those lines? You'll hear it here at Sunrise and get a Life Media because we're a Bible church, so we teach the whole Bible. But most churches today won't touch those topics with a 10-foot pole. What do we call that lack of equipping the church? It is flat-out retreat. And they just play games as they back up. Because of that, they not only make no difference, today the occult is even feeling comfortable to infiltrate many of our churches. And it's led to a crazy circumstance they've put themselves and our world in. So, that finishes up an overview of witchcraft on the African continent. In the next chapter, we're going to finally hop the pond and get into the history of those brujas, or brujería. We won't go into North America yet because we'll have specific studies on that when we hit shamanism and other aspects of witchcraft. But we are going to deal with Central, South, and Latin America. And once again, those areas have not only been involved with witchcraft for a long time, unfortunately, they are also practicing human sacrifice. It is more crazy and horrible evil that still goes on today, as it is constantly promoted by music and the media.